Hey listeners, this is your host, Brother X. I've come to you guys before today's episode, and I wanted to just make sure I put the disclaimer out here. Nothing crazy happened in today's episode, but I want to make sure that it's clear that all views and opinions that are expressed in this week's discussion are of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or thoughts of the Truth and Transparency podcast. With that being said, guys, let's get started with today's episode.
If we want to get to a space where we want to have healthy relationships, which is the backbone of any part of any society, your relationships, how you talk to each other, how you interact with each other, you have to create a table and a space where everybody's about able to lay out all the hors d'oeuvres, all the pieces, your shit, the dirty draws to the fine dining. All of it needs to be on this table. All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and the
Culture and Scientist.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I clearly was chewing some chips.
You be snacking regardless. What you mean? You had a full waffle last time.
I did.
Like, she had Eggos like she was, like, 11 from Stranger Things. Shout out to Stranger Things. New season coming out this summer. We're going to be watching it. We might even do a review of it. But we're not going to talk about that. And here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk about everything in between, why people can't get right in 2022, as well as prices for certain things and why certain sororities just need to keep their traditions or rituals to themselves. But we're not going to talk about that today. And in today's episode, we're going to get into a lot of these things, but first and foremost, I want to thank all of our listeners and our support. The feedback that we have gotten from last week's episode, which we'll get into a little bit later. Listeners, I promise you, we don't do these things. We don't seek out these stories in particular. They're just hilarious, and we're like, if we got to hear this funniness, you got to hear it too. But thank you for running up all the numbers on that episode, as well as all of our previous episodes. Make sure you still check us out when we're on the Chaotic Culture Podcast. I think that might be in the show notes for this episode. If not, I'll tell Mr. Smith to post it on our Instagram. But with that being said, guys, I want to make sure we got a full house today. So I'm going to run through these things like we got church announcements. So first and foremost, we got the boy, the lemon pepper connoisseur himself from down in the A, Mr. Taz Creates. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
What's going on? Jordan here. Happy to be with y'all. That's all I got.
All right. And then back from his trip international, he has his new song, the International Whole Anthem, the Red Lock Assassin, Captain Bangkok himself.
Yes.
Kelsey, introduce yourself.
It's the world travelers, world traveling on your father's dime. It's Kelsey in the building.
Talk about it. Let them know. Hey, you wonder why you can't go to Disneyland? It's because of Kelsey. Just letting you know now. All right. And my lovely sister, who I have run the joke about sepsils into the ground, but I'm going to make one more. The one who has three sepsils under her table right now, they're all blue and white color because, you know, I don't know why you're looking, man. I put them there when I came by last time. Don't worry about that. Queen C, introduce yourself.
What's up, listeners? It's your girl, Queen C, back again. 61 and a half inches of a little less fluff, but a whole lot of fun.
Talk about it, man. Talk about it. And, you know, we'd be remiss. I was chilling last week. We're going to keep it light, man. I'm easing my way back in the thing. My man was Oliver in the movie Oliver and Company. If you don't know that, you uncultured. If you don't know about Oliver and Company, sorry. Mr. Smith, I'm going to come back to you in a second. Oliver and Company was one of the most underrated Disney movies. My man put his foot into it. It was on a level of Tarzan, but needless to say, this man has a million jobs and a million hats and a million do-rags that are all satin, lined with a little bit of gold, and it comes with a batch of Old Bay seasoning. The Crabbler Supreme himself, Doug Dimmadome. Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
You said you was going to go light. I'm actually impressed. You actually went light on this one. It's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as a soundbite poppy, also known as Mr.
Leroy
Dragons. And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. A few quick things. Number one, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. Please go check them out. Secondly, at the time of this recording, there's going to be a draft coming up that we will probably get into a little bit later, but folks, outside is opening back up, so get ready to get all your information. And thirdly, thank y'all for the comments last week into whom sent the post of depends on what he looks like on the IG post. Kudos. That was good.
Respect, because when I saw that, I was like, whoa, hilarious. Like, top tier.
That was me.
I guess we're not protecting the innocent, but okay.
I try to protect the innocent on that one.
Nah, that's for it's cool.
Innocent. That I mean, no hey. Case, no case, right?
True.
But with that being said, guys, we're going to go ahead and jump into this episode. First and foremost, we got our new reoccurring segment, which is Mrs. Smith's Sports Center. Mrs. Smith, go ahead, take it away.
Go ahead, get your power level right. I need y'all to understand how. Okay, I'm gonna make sure I keep this really clean. 2 points. Number one, as I said earlier, at the time of this recording, the NFL draft should be slated for tomorrow, the 28th. So those that are in the football, be sure to look up and, you know, actually night one is usually the night you really care about. Outside of that, no one really cares. Number two, the Brooklyn Nets got swept in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Nice Swiffer action.
And I'm talking like Mr. Clean booty jiggling sweep out that bitch. But I'm not going to get on them because they went against a solid Boston Celtics team. Not going to worry about that. Ben Simmons, sir, what the fuck were you doing last summer? What, like, you, was that playoff series that bad for you to the point where you literally just quit on everybody? Quit on the Sixers, quit on the Nets. And then you had the audacity to say, your back's been tightening up. So listeners, if you don't know, I'm gonna make this really quick. The playoffs started. Brooklyn Nets went against the Celtics. They had been saying since the play-in game that Ben Simmons was looking to get back about game four, and he was ramping back up for rehab. He looked good. He was going on full contact. Game one, Celtics beat him, and it was close. Game two, Celtics beat him. A little bit more. Game three, Celtics beat him. Why this nigga go, you know what? My back just tightened up. I'm going to head out.
Legit. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Legitimately. And so you are a 6'8", I don't even know how much weight you got, like perennial all-star. Like you have the height, you have the length, you can run the floor. And you mean to tell me that you were that nervous from a mental block that you said, oh, my back just tightened up. You know what? I can't play. That's some hoe-ass shit. That is some hoe-ass shit. And honestly, if that series last year fucked you up that much, just go ahead and retire. There's nothing more you need to do. Just go ahead and retire. You ain't going to do nothing else. But I'm going to end off with this. So, you know, we're going to get into Twitter later. But after the game was over, I decided to say something on Twitter about the fact that, you know, how the Celtics swept the Nets and how Ben Simmons is what I said, a hoe ass nigga. Listeners, why did they almost block me off Twitter for that one line? That one, like, I done said some reckless stuff in the year, don't get me wrong, but three words and they said, oh, we're gonna get you for misconduct of hateful speech because you're being detrimental to a player. I'm sorry, did they not get on LeBron and his hairline, KD and his buckshots, and everybody in between? You mean to tell me I call this man a whole ass nigga and I get blocked? Almost, allegedly. So Yeah, we're gonna get to Twitter later, but that was some hoe-ass shit.
Kelsey, you had some thoughts you wanted to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to apologize to the fans of whatever team Ben Simmons played for. His back is fucked up because of me.
All right, we're just gonna move on. I did not think that's where we were going. Mr. Smith, go ahead and add the bleep there. Well, that's one way to end a segment.
Well, we know how this episode gonna be going tonight.
Just wow. All right, just wow.
I missed y'all.
Yeah, man. I'm glad we got our guests back because, whoo, boy, that came out of left field. That might be the sound clip already. But we're going to move on to our next segment, which is Culture Scientist Streaming. And Culture Scientist, do you have something for the listeners this week?
I do. Ooh.
You're supposed to hold the note longer.
No, I can't. I'm not with me, okay?
Okay.
We might be some from the same state.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the same city.
Uh-huh.
But I can't sing like her.
Well, can we get a little Mariah though?
I can't sing.
Ah, okay.
I can sing a little bit in my own peacefulness. But anyways,
okay.
I'm a little late. Sometimes I watch shows just without paying attention. And I give all shows a chance, usually.
Okay.
If it's not scary. So I finally started watching Woke. Mm-hmm. On Hulu, mainly because the main star is one of my favorite actors. He was on New Girl, so I love it. So I wanted to see him in more of a different direction, maybe. And the show is about this character named Keith is an African-American cartoonist on the verge of mainstream success when an unexpected event changes his life. With a fresh outlook on life, Keith must navigate the new voices and ideas that confront him and challenge him. Now, when they say new voices, this is not like, just, I'm just gonna let people know. It's not people's new voices. It's like things he's hearing in his head and imagining. And it is quite funny. And I feel like it's relatable to a variety of different Black people on whatever aspect you decide to be on this woke journey you might be on. Okay, so you should check it out. It's on Hulu.
All right. Listen, I can attest to it. It is quite a hilarious show, and the comedic timing on things is quite good. So we'll give you an update when we watch a few more episodes of it.
There's a trash can character, and Cedric the Entertainer.
Is his name Oscar?
Nah.
Oh, that would have been good, though. That would have been hot.
But he's outside. He goes into a barbershop, and it's not what you think it should be.
Okay.
And then he comes out.
Is it Supercuts?
Nah. Just watch it. Okay. And then he comes out. And there's a trash can, and it's the voice of Cedric the Entertainer. And all I could think about was the barbershop. Like,
OJ did it.
I felt like it was a callback to him. I really feel like it.
Well, Rosa Parks didn't do nothing but sit her Black ass down.
Yeah. That's what he said.
I get it. But yes, listen, definitely check that out. So now, normally we don't do this, and this is probably going to be a one-off thing. We wanted to give our guests a moment to briefly share their thoughts about. Yes, Mr. Smith. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted you to finish, and I was gonna help with the recap since I had it pulled up. Go ahead.
Okay, fair enough. So, listeners, if you did not catch the last episode, go ahead and pause this episode and go back and listen to it. Run them numbers up, of course. But in this last episode, if you do not remember, we had we had a multitude of stories ranging from different things, from Easter pictures that are a little risque to people getting off or while they're taking off.
That's a good one.
Thank you. So I wanted to give our guests a moment to speak on this just briefly. So I'm going to give you guys maybe about a minute, 30 seconds each. But I want Mr. Smith, go ahead and give a quick recap for those who have missed it.
So for those who didn't listen to the last episode, as Brother X said, pause it, go listen back again, run them numbers up. But in this story, there was a guy named Antonio McGarity, and basically he hopped on a Southwest flight from Seattle going to, I believe, Arizona. I believe it's Phoenix. But he basically, as soon as the plane took off, pulled his dick out and started masturbating next to a woman and basically masturbated about four times throughout the flight, busting a nut, licked it off and went to sleep, to which the lady then called the flight attendant, told her what happened, moved the seat, and then police came and arrested him when he landed in Phoenix, Arizona.
He also stated that he asked her, and she said that she didn't mind, so he didn't understand why there was all the trouble.
No. He asked her if it mind. She says, like, it doesn't matter at this point. I think that's what it was.
Correct.
All the same, it was just sir, sir, what are you doing? So anybody else want to share their thoughts about that real quick? Kelsey?
First of all, four times, the flight to Seattle to Phoenix is not long. I've taken it. That's a lot, sir. That's a lot. Also, on a plane, like, why? Like, you couldn't wait until you land? Also, depending on what he looked like, yeah, I may not have had a problem with it. I may have helped him out. And I also... The last thing is, I wanted to say that I applaud him for cleaning up after himself. Men.
So you want to keep him in, huh? You want him to keep that in, huh? No, that one's on you. This one's on you. No, Ms. Smith, do not edit this out. This is co-signed by the culture scientist right here. You record a soundbite, you put that in there. Culture scientist co-signs this statement that was said, and don't give it no context. That is exactly what we're doing right now. I know it's going to make
I love it when men clean up after themselves.
I like turtles.
Jesus, I mean, Christ. Or I'll clean up after you. But either way, as long as someone is cleaning this up, like,
all right, that's so you're just going really to have to the whole section out. Task Grace, you had some thoughts?
I did, but they went out the window. Now, when Mr. Smith was going through the story, I kept thinking about the Dave Chappelle skit where the homeless man was beaten off on the subway. And so, like, I've been on the Southwest flight. We all have. And, like, I know that lady was the only one who was disturbed. Like, they packed those planes, and, like, somebody watched them beat off four times. They're accountable. I would have been pissed. I would have Mike Tyson them.
Ah, I see what you did there. We'll come back to that. Quincy?
My whole thing with the story, outside of his self-recycling, I guess that's one way to get your protein in.
I'm gonna try my house.
Is lying.
We ain't even 20 minutes into the episode. I'm gonna try my house, and y'all gonna act like this.
I was trying to think of a nice way to say it.
This is why we need them back.
Mrs. Smith, you know what it is.
But outside of his self-recycling, yes. I have an issue with the woman who was beside him. Because you faint like you were grossed out, but obviously there was something enticing to you because you knew that he switched hands. You knew exactly how many times he masturbated. You took pictures and video for quote unquote evidence. I ain't taking no pictures of nobody dick for no evidence. That's for me. I'm just saying.
For the group chat is what it is. I can't believe
if it's small, it's for the group chat. If it's big, it's for me.
Wow.
These are facts.
Wow. Mrs. Smith, get us back on track.
Listeners, we're only 17, maybe 18 minutes in. And this train had gone way off the tracks. So let's reel this motherfucker back.
You guys are still there? You know it only might get worse from here.
Oh, no.
But we're going to attempt to get back on track.
Oh, no.
By going to... Now, mind you!
I guess we're just going to skip the... Okay, I'm going to leave that one alone.
You know it's bad when the culture scientist...
No, I was
trying No. She is co-signed this whole thing. It is her fault that we went down this route. You let this happen. You guys give you a bad influence. This is what I'm going
to... Nobody else had me ask back.
Mrs. Smith, remember the episode that we talked about, out of context?
Yep.
Yeah, let's go ahead and add this to the list.
Got it.
All right. So, yes, we're going to move on to now, mind you.
I don't know how I feel about that, but continue.
Really? Really? Of all the things that I've done on this podcast?
I don't know. Continue.
Oh, Lord. Well... If this is cut out, you know what happened. All right, so now mind you is a segment where we talk about things in a story where we find very interesting or vital to to the storytelling process done in the Black vernacular. So in particular, we're going to go ahead and revisit another fight where Tall Shit Get Hit is exemplified by Black Short, Black Air Force One assassin himself, Mike Tyson. He let a passenger know, stop fucking with me. I'm not the one, two, or three. Mr. Smith, play the clip.
So listeners, just for context, this whole clip will be literally the passenger heckling Mr. Tyson. Take a listen.
This is George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This shit crazy, bro. Mike Tyson. My dog done got lit, man. He over here rapping with Tyson. Mike Tyson trying to give us some shrooms. You don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This shit crazy as fuck.
He should have never gave you his money.
JetBlue, net flight. My boy just got beat up by Mike Tyson. Turn that way. Yeah, he got fucked up. Just trying to ask for an autograph, man. I don't know what happened.
So, listeners, I just want to be clear. And of course, we're going to definitely let the group have it. But the guy ended up asking Mike for an autograph. Mike Oblige gave him, you know, like, oh, my God, you're such a great person, whatever. But the guy was intoxicated and decided to keep bothering Mike Tyson. I'm gonna say it again. He keeps bothering Mike freaking Tyson. And listeners, if you are under a rock, let me make sure you understand the type of person that this Negro is. So this is a small clip in the mindset of what Mike Tyson is right now.
The more I studied, the more I know the art of fight. I know the art of war. That's all I ever studied. That's why I'm so feared. That's why they feared me when I was in the ring. Because that's all I was an annihilator. That's all I was born for. And now those days are gone. It's empty. I'm nothing. I'm working on being the art of humbleness. Can you be with me? That's the reason why I'm crying. Because I'm not that person no more. And I miss them. Because sometimes I feel like a bitch. Because I don't want that person to come out. Because if he comes out, hell is coming with him. And it's not funny at all. It myself.
Now, if I see Tyson after this, I'm not touching this man. I'm not talking to him. I'm not even gonna make eye contact with him. Hell no. But I'll say the rest of my comment for him. Brother X, back to you.
First and foremost, sir, of all people, have you not seen this man? The last person that talked shit to this man got half a ear. He halfway listened from forever and beyond. Sir, just why? Of all people, like maybe it's a celebrity, maybe somebody who ain't got hands. Maybe it's not DaBaby because we know that man will shoot and fight anybody, but we're not talking about that. But just why? I know, Kelsey, you had some thoughts and then I'll go to Queen C.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love my alcohol. However, there is not enough alcohol in the multiverse for me to fuck with a nigga who gets paid to whoop ass. Like, what? What? Like, Mike Tyson, Layla Ali, Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor. I would never. Are you kidding me? Like, how brave? See, this is that damn white privilege right here. That's just what it has to be. Because I would like to feel that we understand this. I feel like this is a pretty well-known fact that Mike Tyson whoops ass, period. I'm not fucking with this man. I'm not fucking with any of them. Like, nah, you couldn't pay me. And I like money too. You couldn't pay me.
Now you wouldn't be around to see that money. You ain't gonna be able to cash that check.
Also, his face don't look as bad as it should, period.
Like, Tyson went light on it. Probably overhand slapped him. That's how lethal this man's hands are. Hit him with the Charlie Murphy. Why did the five fingers say to the face? Slap! Queen C, go ahead.
So, the one thing in the first clip that got me, right? Oh boy, filming the whole interaction. You sit giving us a play-by-play. You say, oh man, this dude, he off his rocker, he off shrooms or whatever motion. He over here fucking with Mike Tyson. Then when he get his ass whooped, you can talk some, oh man, Mike ain't had to do that to my man. I feel so bad. He was just asking for an autograph. Nigga, no the fuck he wasn't. You literally just gave us a fucking play-by-play. Look, I think Mike had on some rings or something because he got a lot of scratches on the side of his face. But that's the first thing. Two, again, this is Mike, I will bite your ear off and then use it to advertise edibles, Tyson. This is the same angry motherfucker from 20, 30 years ago. Don't think because he went to anger management and played a small role in the fucking Hangover movies that he's not still that nigga. He is always and forever gonna be that nigga. Don't fuck with... That's like walking up to the local drug dealer, the local game banger, and everybody know the one I'm talking about. You don't fuck with him and just start talking shit. You're asking for it. What the fuck are you doing? Sitting there looking like fucking Bart Simpson and shit.
Got to live like he got slapped with the bum bump.
Oh, Lord. That took me out, Queensy. Why does he look like Putin's third cousin? Come over and then he's like, Mike Tyson beat him. I was like, this is for Ukraine.
Now you look like the Agent Orange a little bit.
My boy got the Mr. Burns lip.
Oh damn. Damn.
But this is my thing. After you got beat by Mike Tyson, you gotta ride back in the seat behind him the whole way. This man just whooped your ass. I would have opened the emergency exit. We all gonna die. I'm not gonna get my ass beat like that and not be able to do something about it. So I don't know.
it's just a lot that was just going on with that man. So this is just wow. Like, sir, you got instant karma real quick. Mr. Smith, go ahead.
I'ma just finish off and say, let's remember, people, we are in the age where you can look up anything on the internet. The man has a documentary where he literally said when he walks out to the ring, he doesn't say anything, he doesn't do anything. He literally stares at you from the time you walk out to the ring until the first bell, and he is waiting for you to blink. And if you blink and you show that fear, he already knows, I got you, and I'm taking you out in either the first or second round. That's what we're talking about here. And you mean to tell me you're gonna try to heckle him? Again, as the rest of the group has said, I'm surprised he didn't get messed up more. But as Tyson said, he's trying to keep that demon down. But Tyson dug into that man's face. And I just wish he would have did more. Kind of wish he would have bit his ear off again so he could have had Mike Vice Volume 2 edition.
Holiday season.
Oh, bleep that. No, bleep that. Mr. Smith, what the fuck?
Y'all. I witnessed this man, Mike Tyson. I was at the Billboard Awards, and this is before everybody was in there. He got mad over a hot dog, okay? Over a hot dog.
Not a goddamn glizzy.
Listen, I was like, I want to ask for an autograph, but I'm just going to stand over here and be like, I seen Mike Tyson in real life, and then that was good enough, because I even know better, and I was younger than
dog.
Yeah,
just dog. That's just a lot. But all right, so moving on, and this is very, I don't guess it's interesting from a world perspective, but the Tesla tycoon himself, I have that right, it is Tesla, correct?
Yes.
I mean, he make a lot of money I'm never gonna see, so I don't really pay attention to
Tesla, PayPal.
My man got money. Like, my man is an evil villain. But Elon Musk recently, he purchased one of the most well-known social media apps, Twitter. Those who are familiar with it, people get roasted and get dragged on Twitter all the time. Usually white people for saying dumb white shit, but we're not gonna talk about that today. All right, so with that, I just found very interesting because Mr. Smith, what was the exact number again?
44 billion with a B dollars.
Damn! Just that, like, it don't make no sense. Like, my man has $44 billion just laying around, like, you know what? Fuck it. I can go ahead and drop this real quick. This is a pocket change. Sir, do you understand what you could do with $44 billion? And you're going to spend it on a social media app? Mm-hmm. Come on now. Mrs. Smith, I would like to go to you first, and then I want to go to our resident tech person, Taz Creates.
So there's two different ways to look at it. The first way is the way of to us common folk.
Right.
Misappropriation of funds, right?
Right.
Like you said, $44 billion, you could do a lot with. This nigga could have ended world hunger, made world peace. He could have took some deficits down, all of that. And he decided to purchase Twitter, which the jokes that flew are the fact that folks saying, this motherfucker purchased Twitter for $44 billion and I got it free on the app. I mean, free on the app store. Hilarious. Black Twitter is undefeated. But the second thing, which is kind of more deeper, and maybe Task Creates might jump into that, is it's kind of goes into a deeper meaning of like freedom of speech. So like all of the richest people in the world are buying up like social media platforms in order to what they call protect the freedom of speech. But in reality, us, the people that are still, you know, logical and, you know, not dumb and don't listen to Fox News. Yeah, we're saying that, no, you're doing that so that you can now restrict the free speech, because let's be real. Twitter was the main purpose for the last three elections. Obama's first election, which was, well, okay, yeah, because Twitter was around for that too. Twitter was definitely around for the second one. When Trump got in, because that's how they organized, and Biden. So that thing is definitely a socio-political, like, moving vehicle of information. And if you restrict it, you can now control the masses. But that's kind of just, to me, Elon Musk is going to be Lex Luthor. I'm calling it now. He just needs to go bald, and that's it. He's Lex Luthor.
I mean, but he was kind of thin on the top in that one picture you showed me. My man to have the Copacet.
He about to have the, I had to catch myself that we gonna leave her alone. I'm not even gonna go there. But yeah, sir, I just.
You need to stop thinking so damn loud.
I caught myself. That's all that matters. Okay. But yeah, so to that, just $44 billion, bruh. Just Jesus.
Mm. Task Grace, I know you said you had some thoughts on this. Go ahead.
I think Mr. Smith hit most of them. I'm more concerned about the social implications and the next upcoming election. I'm also concerned about, like, a lot of ulterior motives behind this. There has to be some rationale for why he wanted to acquire Twitter other than being a troll. But then again, when you have a net worth of $246 billion and you can just drop $44 billion, maybe, you know, you just felt like going to Target and balling out, and this is Target for him. So I really don't know. It makes no sense to me, and I feel like we're not going to see the bad things of it until like a year or two from now when the elections are back and he starts using it for his own motives.
That's real. I know certain people on this podcast had some concerns about certain things being removed. Kelsey? Would you like to share that concern?
Yeah, so I just, as we all do, I watch a lot of superhero movies.
Oh, and I did not think that's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
It could have went a multitude of different directions.
It was a multiverse of options.
I could have. I watch a lot of superhero movies. And like to y'all's point of him being a supervillain, I just feel deep in my spirit that either him or one of these billion, probably him because he's, you know, himself. I just feel like he has a secret lab somewhere that is fucking with something that humans don't need to fuck with that's going to end up fucking us all. And I feel like this Twitter purchase may have been a huge distraction from that. like this nigga, for all we know, like, I don't want to seem like a conspiracy theorist, but this nigga, for all we know, could end up trying to like recreate Jurassic Park or some bullshit. He's what he's not doing with his money is like legitimate shit to help out the world. Like you did mention, ending world hunger, which he could have at least put a dent in. He could have done something to the fucking what? Student debt crisis, to the homelessness in the country. He could have affected positively a lot of shit, but instead he decided to put $44 billion, is it, to buying Twitter? The fuck? Why? Who cares who owns Twitter? Like, yeah, I don't know. I find this unsettling, just because when you get that much money, I just feel like there's only negative shit that's going to come from it.
That's real. Quincy, real quick.
If $44 billion is pocket change to him, nigga, just throw a quick billy my way. That's all I need. Just $1 billion. That's it. Just give me $1 billion. Mm-hmm. But since Kelsey didn't bring it up, I'm gonna bring it up. How we gonna get celeb sex tapes now? Y'all know Twitter got porn. Twitter gave us Nelly, even though we didn't ask for it. Gave us a little fist, even though we didn't ask for that either. Nobody asked for that. But still, how is we gonna get the celebrity smut and the Twitter porn if Lex Luthor now owns Twitter?
Also, Queen C, that was a wild 48 hours too. Like, what?
It's gonna be OnlyFans. OnlyFans gonna be the new social media app.
He gonna buy that next. He want all the porn.
Oh, no.
I think that's his goal. He wants to buy all the sites that got porn on it because Pornhub is next.
Wow.
Hashtag wow. Protect our porn.
Hashtag freedom of porn.
We here at the Truth and Transparency Podcast do not necessarily endorse the opinions or thoughts of the guests that have been expressed on the show. Mrs. Smith, go ahead and play that clip.
Hashtag. Porn to be wild. Okay, I'm done.
Wow.
What? Just, what?
Wow.
What is happening?
Again, I feel like I'm partially responsible for this because I asked people to be on this episode.
No, actually,
it's not another day.
This is one of the few times you're not at fault for this. This is strictly on them.
Fair enough. All right. Now that we've talked about some ignorance on social media. We got to talk about this one last thing before we move into this week's topic and our Black business highlight. So all the people on the podcast, except for, I think, for Taz Creates, enjoy seafood or are able to enjoy seafood, correct? Yeah. Give or take?
Yeah.
Okay, I would think so. Like, we all enjoy a good crab boil. Queen C, fix your face. Don't do that. We haven't even got to the good part yet. Don't worry about that. So if you are someone who cooks in the kitchen, you understand how to cook correctly. You know how to do recipes. Like, you have even have some recipes passed down from generation to generation. But have you ever heard of a Sunny D crab boil or seafood boil?
Nope.
I didn't think so. Mr. Smith, go ahead and play the clip.
Yes, Lord. Y'all already know what time it is. Let's pop it with the orange juice first. Not just any orange juice. This that Sunny D right here, I'm telling you, man. Oh my God, we finna go crazy, bruh. Look, we got a 150 quart pot right here, man. Is this enough orange juice? Is this enough orange juice, man? Somebody let me know right now. Yeah, I don't think it's enough orange juice. Hold up, gotta go get some more. Boom, yeah. Now look, let's add our lemon juice. And we not gonna add just one. We gonna add 5 lemon juices. Peep game, watch this. Now they say if you spin the bottle, your juice will come out way quicker. And I'm here to tell you, it's true. Look at that. Now look, my beautiful people, look how satisfying that orange juice is right there. Now look, you can use water if you want to, but me, I like a lot of flavor. Let's add them orange bell peppers. We got some green ones right here. Nah, I'm lying. They go to orange ones right there. The ones while I go is yellow. Here go my red ones. Here go my celery. I got some more celery right here too. That wasn't it. Now, of course, we gotta add the onions. That's nothing but flavor right here, nothing but flavor. Now, here go my minced garlic. I love garlic. We eat that with everything. Now, here go that yes, Lord, that's coming to a store soon. What y'all know about that paprika? Huh? That That's that smoked paprika right there. It's platinum. Now here go my ball booster. This my garlic flavor right here. And here go my celery and my onion flavor right there. Now come here, look at this. What this say right here? Extra spicy. But it ain't gonna be that spicy because the orange juice gonna balance it all out. Now look at all that flavor right there dropping in that platinum juice. Now y'all know the sausages add that flavor too. Nothing but flavor. Nothing but flavor. Then after them sausages, we gonna add our pretty golden potatoes right here. Now y'all say y'all want them shrimp? Now I got about 35 pounds of Louisiana shrimp right here. They finna be platinum, I'm telling you. And let me tell you about them shrimp. You wanna cook them 3 minutes max or else they ain't gonna peel easy and you not gonna like it. Man, look at that. Smell it through the phone. I'm telling you, man, it's platinum.
Man, what the fuck is you
what
talking about?
What the fuck
about,
was
man?
That?
I'm sorry, man. No, I wasn't thinking about it when I did it. I should have said Mike Burger King.
Who would like to go first?
How about say, Quincy, go ahead. I just can't.
See, when you did the intro to this video, I felt like you were speaking to me personally, you know, somebody who knows how to cook, somebody who, you know, knows what they're doing in the kitchen, has family recipes passed down from generation to generation, don't need no measuring cup because I know what the fuck I'm doing. What is this bullshit? What the fuck is, okay, so as somebody who cooks and as a lover of seafood and as somebody who can cook seafood, why are we using, first off, he called it orange juice. Let's all be clear. Sunny Delight is not orange juice. It is Tang's first cousin. It ain't real orange juice.
Oh no, it is orange juice-like product.
Yes.
It's an orange juice cocktail like Arizona's.
There you go, a cocktail. If you actually read the label, it does not say that Sunny D is orange juice. It says citrus punch. I'm gonna leave it right there. Sunny D is sweet as all hell. So in order to cut some of the sweetness, he put not one, not two, but 5 bottles of pure lemon juice. To cut sweetness, that is the correct thing. You need acidity. However, had you just used regular ass motherfucking orange juice, we wouldn't have to do this shit. Why are we resorting back to childhood? Tell your taste buds to grow the fuck up.
Those onions cut?
No.
No.
None of that shit cut.
No.
I was going to wait.
I was getting to that.
No. This me.
Hold on, wait. Watch it. I noticed something more.
Wait. I got to say this.
No. It was only cut in half. Shit. He didn't skin it.
My nigga had half things of celery. What you doing? My nigga going to make a bomb out that shit.
My motherfucker didn't even peel the onions. Who the hell want to eat sausage and shrimp out that shit? You got onion skin on it. Look at that shit. It looked like diarrhea.
Nigga, you eat that shit gonna blow up your stomach.
You Kelsey, eat it, it's gonna come out looking the same way.
My nigga gonna shit orange for weeks. Kelsey, go ahead.
I'm beyond shocked. I'm appalled, hoodwinked, bamboozled, flabbergasted. Like, I just can't. First of all, maybe I'm bougie now, but when's the last time you even seen Sunny D? I ain't seen that, not nowhere. Probably damn near a decade. Also, to piggyback off of Seafree's point, yeah, I have to agree, Sunny D got about as much orange juice as I like in my mimosas, a splash. yeah, this is how not to cook 101. This is, I feel bad for anyone who actually tries to follow this tutorial, like, because your insides are just, they're gonna be no more.
Bubble guts.
Yes.
Like, I don't even know what it's. I'm speechless.
Damn.
Mr. Smith, you got something?
Yeah. Number one, when you make Kelsey speechless, you know it's bad. for me, I'm a, you know, I don't want to rehash it. What you guys said is correct. It is an orange drink. It is not orange juice. The fact that he kept saying orange juice. Secondly, I don't know about y'all. I ain't never had celery in my seafood boils. I've had some seasoning. I've had some crab boil seasoning. So I can understand the paprika. I might give you the peppers, maybe, but
I'm not giving you them half cut onions with the skin on it.
You said what, Culture Scientist?
You can't call none of them things by their proper name.
At all, right? And so, you know, like, I see you were trying to show off, but listen.
What is that?
He said boil booster is what that was.
You know what that looked like? When you about to go fry some fish. That look like the stuff you fry fish in.
That look like the white owls that you get at the gas station.
Yeah. Wait, Culture Scientist. Culture Scientist, are you talking about the House of Aubrey batter for the fish?
Yes.
The batter.
So, but yeah, I was just going to finish off and say, you didn't cut the potatoes. You got 35 pounds of shrimp that you didn't even like, you almost tilt over in the beginning and you lost a couple. And again, No, absolutely not. If I ever go to a restaurant and I say, hey, I want a seafood boil, but what do you boil your seafood? You know, like when you make it, what do you do it in? Oh, we got Sunny D in the back. I'm walking smooth the fuck out.
Give me a 40.
Mr. Smith.
Get you a what, Coach Sanchez?
40.
You turn into E40 real quick.
I mean, that's what I use to make my crab legs. So that's what I use to do the same thing. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I get it.
Wait, you do what? That
makes sense.
My crab legs. I blow my crab legs with a 40. Like, I literally go get a 40.
And she says, ooh.
Because I like going to get one. Oh, now you turn your camera on?
That was good. That was good.
Add that in, please do. all right, please see. You got the last word. We're going to move on.
All right. So, first off, Taz in the chat said, I ain't never seen nobody stain stainless steel. That shit is funny. But also, Plies, please come get your baby cousin. What is he doing? This nigga look and talk like Plies.
From the band.
He looked like Hurricane Chris. That's exactly who he looked like. Hey, baby.
I will give you that one.
No hang time.
I will give you that one. And Brother X to end off, you ain't shit. I caught that. Talk about some chopper. We already know that man is getting arrested for sex trafficking, you asshole.
Oh, he thought I did for after I forgot. Ain't no way.
Just catching strays, huh? Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to move on real quick. But hold on real quick, Mrs. Smith, you're going to need to bleep this part out.
Oh, God.
So Kelsey, Jordan, and you might have met this person. You know who he really looks like? He looks like... Yeah, go ahead, bleep that out.
You're going to hell. You're going to hell.
You don't have brains, bro.
Yeah, I'm beeping that. I'm bleeping that.
Whatever you
I'm
gotta do, bleeping that. Does not make that stays on the cutting room floor.
Cut.
I'm bleeping that.
Jason Weaver and Drumline.
Keep this bleeped out as well, but.
Oh.
All right. And we're back.
Since we're still bleeping out, I keep hearing like this thing, I came up with this amazing recipe. It's called and I think of her when I think of that.
Wow.
Remember the
No. Perfect. Y'all thank my y'all. God. Y'all just made my editing job much harder. Thank you.
Just cut it. Just
this whole part right here.
This whole part is just we'll be right back. And then you come back to
Well, you should do that. We'll be right back.
And then come back to us last bit.
Anyways.
All right. Yeah. So thank you, listeners. We're back after that quick commercial break. I had to handle some housekeeping business real quick. Now we're actually going to talk about our Black business highlight. We actually missed it last week, but I would like to take some time to shout out a particular catering business. Since we are, myself and the Coach of Sciences, are looking at vendors for our future wedding.
If you know any, shout them out.
Send them to us, please. All right. So in particular, we're going to actually shout out Urbana. I apologize if I mispronounced that correctly. Urbana Catering Concepts. We actually were introduced to this catering business at my Lion Brothers 50th birthday celebration out in O'Reilly. He has phenomenal work. He actually had an awesome dinner. Mind you, shout out to my LB. Happy 50th birthday to you. It was phenomenal. We had a great time. Cigars, drinks, everything. It was just great. Shout out to you. You know who you are. Now, this particular caterer business was phenomenal because he's been in business, I think, like he said, like 15 to 20 years. He's originally from, is it Brooklyn, New York?
Yes.
He's originally from Brooklyn, New York.
I knew that.
Came down to North Carolina. Mind you can hear it in his accent, which is really dope. My man can actually cook.
Man, that salmon was great. And I don't
this man salmon. Got the Coach of Sciences to eat salmon, and yeah. She don't never do that.
It's very rare.
And my man had this risotto, fire. Creamy risotto, like all the food was phenomenal. It's just really dope. Definitely check him out if you're in the RDU area. He does cater most of events. Who knows? He might even be catering our future wedding, but we'll see. But again, that is Urbana Catering Concepts. That's located out of RDU, mostly Raleigh area. Please check him out. All his Instagram and all his information will be in the show notes as well. And shout out to you. So, guys, hey, don't do that. I'm going to cut the chat off. You're going to keep disrespecting me on my internet. All right. So we're actually going to go ahead and get into this week's topic. A new series that we've talked about over the last episode and some change. I'm not respected amongst my peer group. All right. So we're actually starting a new series called Uncomfortable Truths. And in that, this series is actually going to be conversation that's going to be had about things that we really need to be honest about and be able to talk about, which can get really deep level conversation. And for some people, it may make you feel uncomfortable, as in the name. So in particular, I wanted to start off with a video clip to kind of get, all right, you got one more, you're going to get booted from the island like a certain guest that hasn't been back yet. All right, so we're going to go ahead and play the clip in just a moment, but I want you guys to really take some time to listen to that and hear what he's actually saying.
We got women out here that are like, yo, bro, I want you to be vulnerable with me. I want you to be transparent. And then when your man is transparent, you get turned off. How does that work, bro? I'm gonna keep it a stack with you. You part of the problem. You are part of the problem. What's up with that? Yeah, you know, like, he was talking and he just started crying. I was just like, ew. What do you mean, ew? Like, bro, what do you mean, ew? If I can't cry with my shorty, you're a dub. You're a dub. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, fellas, if you can't cry with her, she ain't the one. I'm gonna keep it a stack with you. If I can't cry with you, what are we doing here? If I can't be vulnerable with my partner, I'm in prison. I'm not gonna be in prison emotionally just because you can't handle me being comfortable with my full range of emotions. If that's a problem for you, you gotta go, bro.
So that was the starting point or what ignited this particular episode or concept that I wanted to talk about amongst peer group, because I would say that most of us, if not all of us, have a pretty good understanding of being able to express our emotions, our feelings, in one way or another. But I think it is very real for a lot of men. I think me and Mr. Smith talked about it like a while back. There was a clip of an NBA player, Michael Beasley, where he actually expressed that he's talked about how frustrated he was about how there are men and people who are going through truly devastating stuff, whether it was like Will Smith prior to the great Oscars, or I forget the other person he mentioned, but they're going through these things, and instead of them getting support, they became memes or they became ridiculed on social media. And yeah, I'm guilty of laughing at some of this stuff because in the moment you like, haha, like the initial joke, it's funny. But what a lot of people don't often do is actually go back and try to really examine these things, because I promise you, if you were in their positions, the last thing you will want from your peer groups or your peers is to downplay your emotional distraughtness or what you're going through. So as I set the table for this discussion, I want to make the focus on what exactly, where did this come from? Like, mind you, we may know ourselves, but I want to help the listeners who may or may not fully get it, because for us, this is common knowledge, but for others, this is real conversations that people have, because it's like, I've heard, and this is not attacking, but I've heard many of women saying that, oh, I want an emotional man, but then you get him and then he's too emotional. Make that make sense. Like, you pray for something, you ask for something, you write in your journal and you do affirmations for this man to be in touch with his emotions, to be able to communicate them to you, and not to be a mind reader and say, yeah, I'm cool, I'm good, it's whatever. But as he uses his emotions to be able to express, like, no, that bothered me. No, that upset me. No, I'm not okay with that. That triggered trauma or an emotional response to me that I did not want or like. And this is me saying that it's not okay and I need you not to do that. So I open the table up to the guests. Like, where do you think this stigma kind of originated from? We'll go with Kelsey real quick.
I think this stigma starts like very early, like when you're first growing up. Like, because parents and society as a whole love pushing a lot of these problematic gender-specific roles onto children from a very young age. We hear all the times growing up, oh, men don't cry, men don't do this, men don't do that, men are supposed to be strong, men are supposed to be like this, men are supposed to be like that. And I understand that it does come from places of love, but it can be really limiting and damaging. I know, like me, for example, I was in Boy Scouts growing up, and that ironically did nothing to make me straight, but that's neither here nor there.
Never changed, Kelsey. Never changed.
But like one of the distinct things that I remember my scoutmaster saying, like because we would go canoeing ever so often, and occasionally some of the boys would ask if we could do like kayaking instead or something like that. And he would always tell us that we will not go kayaking because real men don't wear skirts. And even like that in itself, I mean, hell, I know drag queens that are a shit ton tougher than some of these toxically masculine guys out here in these streets. So yeah, I feel like just us unloading all of our own gender specific traits to children, like that's really the birthplace of stigmas like this, I feel.
Okay, culture scientist.
I just have one comment to say in reference to what he said in a specific point. Real men don't wear skirts, that part. I just want to point out Scottish men wear kilts. And they're some of the realest men you could probably ever run into. I'm just saying, go watch Outlander or go read a book. Just saying.
That's real.
Or go watch some of those like strongman competitions they do out there. That shit is fucking insane. Talk about it.
Like that, miss me with all that. Not culture sciences, Quincy, go ahead.
So I agree with what Kelsey has said. I just want to take it a step further, because when you ask where the stigma comes from, unfortunately, a lot of the negative generational curses in Black families stem from slavery or the post-slavery era. So in slavery, the whole point was to break the man down, whip him until he falls, until he cries. And for our Black men, they had to keep that facade that it doesn't hurt, I can take it. Because if they can do it, they know that, you know, they're upholding their community values, etc. There was also something called buck breaking, which I'm not going to get into it. Just if you have time, look it up. I will warn you in advance. It is not pretty. But the basis of it, again, was to break down the masculinity of a Black man. So as, you know, we get free, we go through Reconstruction, you know, start to build a nuclear family, or at least try to, a lot of those things stayed with us. Okay, the man needs to be strong. He can't break down. Because if he breaks down, then who are we supposed to follow? We need him to be strong so we can stay strong. And it kept going and cycling generation after generation after generation, when Black men are people. They have emotions. They have the right to express those emotions, and not in a particular certain way, and not within this small little confined box that most people have put them in. And it's unfortunate, but a lot of it stems from slavery, like I said.
That's real. Mrs. Smith or Taz Crates, did you have something else you want to add on to that before we kind of move to the next part?
I'll let Taz go first if he has anything.
I guess the way that I look at it is from a different perspective. A lot of individuals, I won't say like men or women, they say they want one thing, and then when they have it, they completely like fumble the bag. So like, say for instance, look at it as like an expensive car. You want to have a Ferrari, but like you don't want the insurance that comes with it. You don't want the high maintenance costs. Like all these other things, like with relationships, your partner may not always be perfect. And so like with those imperfections, you have to keep up the maintenance. You have to support them so that they can continue to run and that your relationship can grow. So I guess that's my perspective at it.
That's real. Mr. Smith?
Yeah, just to finish off, I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, like I do kind of feel like, as they said, you had to be strong back then because of the stigma or the world that we lived in at the time, where those of the Caucasus Mountains, call it what it is, tried to break you down and make you less of a man, which would then break down the family dynamic. But within that, as we've gotten older and technologies evolve, what we've always discussed on this podcast is the theory of evolution, and that things evolve over time. Thoughts, ideals, people that were, you know, in 2000, what they thought in 2005 may not be what they think in 2022 based on evolution. Some people might be very like homophobic in 2005, and some might still be homophobic now, but others might be like, you know what? Yeah, they people. What's the problem? Like, they grow and they evolve, but they might have said some things. In this case, you know, it's always the stigma of, well, you know, you want the man to always be the provider, the strong person. He needs to be able to pick you up when you're down. It's like, but as Queen C stated, can you do the same for him? He's human. He's not a robot. He's not an alien. Like, we have feelings too. And sometimes, you know, you always see that that portrait of the guy holding the world on his shoulders. And he sees like he's getting ready to tear up because it's just too heavy, but he has to stay strong. Like, that's real in a lot of people's worlds. So thank you, Queen C. Atlas. So it's, you know, we want to be able to say, hey, we're not going to have you shoulder the entire burden with us. We're going to give you a piece. We just want to give you a piece of it so it can lighten up for us. But in doing so, then it's, no, you solve. You need to be able to take all of it. And then it's like,
although that's a feminine trait. Why are you getting upset? Oh, you upset now? Why are you getting your feelings? Because you want me to tell you what my feelings were. Make sense.
Yep.
So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think a good part of it is, and some of us can speak to this, is that I know for me, growing up, and I had to do that in a lot of ways. It ran at my background and reasons for why I had to try to mask my emotions, all this stuff, was for like family stuff that I may get into another episode and maybe talk about, but it ultimately, it stunted my growth. And I think it caused me to not know how to have a healthy relationship, because from a young age, I kept what truly bothered me and what was pent up in me, I kept it back from that person, because I felt like if I show that I genuinely care, or I'm upset, or like I'm invested into the situation, then they're going to feel it's too much. They're going to pull away. They're going to be like, I didn't sign up for this, and I'm not ready for all this. Which, granted, some people may not be in this headspace to be able to handle a person who is able to communicate their feelings and emotions, but to deny a person the ability to speak on that, like, it stunts the growth of who you are and what you're dealing with. And it is a frustrating thing. And Lord knows how many relationships I probably damaged, or how many times I didn't grow or heal because I couldn't communicate my emotions, the weight of how much I feel. Because I always have to give, like a censored version or a watered down version of how I'm feeling to protect someone. And now I feel like I have all these pent up emotions, you know? Does someone else, like any of my guys kind of can speak to that, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things that we always were told was, rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine, or whatever. Oh, it doesn't hurt, or oh, that's not painful. When in reality, it's like, yes, it is. Now, do we have to have a little more strength than our women counterparts in certain situations? Yes, because, you know, certain things they may not have been taught, or they may not have been, you know, they may not have been knowledgeable about, to where we have to take the lead on. But a lot of it is the perception of, you must always be, like what they used to always say, you must be Superman. You have to be Superman. And people keep forgetting Superman is weak to kryptonite. Even he has a weakness. Even he is hurt by something. He may be the strongest person ever. He may be able to go through everything he can, but he has a weakness too. And he has to overcome it. But who had to help him with that? Lois Lane and other people regarding the Justice League. He had to have help. So when we talk about those vulnerabilities, like a good example, and okay, I got to make sure I clean this up so that said person does not, even though she probably would never talk to me again, but we never brought this up. A person that I had talked to a while ago mentioned to me that, when you talk to me, I want you to be more aggressive. Okay, we're communicating. What we learn on this podcast, everything is about communication. The minute I be aggressive, and y'all know me, everyone on this podcast knows me, I'm really chill, laid back, you know, I kiki, ha, whatever, but I'm chill. The minute I'm aggressive, all of a sudden it's, oh, nah, I ain't say you had to be like that. Oh my gosh, how would you? I'm like, man, I did exactly what you, I'm communicating with you. I'm trying to be vulnerable and kind of
get out of your comfort zone. Yeah.
Yeah. Like adjust to what you are requesting. And now what you're stating is, oh, that's not what I want. Well, then what the fuck do you want? Like, seriously, what do you want? So the fact that, you know, in other cases, we may not be able to be vulnerable with everything. And I'm not going to bring said person's name up or how we are.
Keep going.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Don't do it.
I know. Tazwell, you ain't shit. But and another person that I had conversations with, I couldn't be my full self around, because the minute that I tried to be my full self, and a lot of these people on the podcast knew, that person would have me shut down because, oh, why are you being like that? Oh, that's not good. Oh, if you want to do that, go ahead, do what you want to do. Like, and guys know when a woman says do what you want to do. Don't do what you want to do.
Don't do it.
Do not pass go.
Stay in your lane. Go home. Go home and be a family man. Don't do shit. Don't go nowhere. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Don't do it. That's 5 to 10.
There are exceptions to the rule, but yes, I will agree that 90% of the time, that is what that means.
Right. And so with that, because of that, I couldn't be my full self. I couldn't be vulnerable, even though they said I could be. And in doing so, as Brother X stated, so that kind of stunted my growth for a while. And people noticed it, but I had to get past that perspective and that situation in order to be a better version of myself and to be around people that allow me to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Just, I feel for any person, regardless of gender, being strong all the time is draining. It is exhausting.
Message. Fucking message.
Yes.
Like, and to piggyback off of Mr. Smith's example with Superman, I would like to submit the example of Luisa from Encanto. Without spoiling the movie. Her song, like, exactly. Everyone has some type of pressure to be something. Either whether it is to be strong, to be this, or to be that. Everyone has, like, that kind of pressure. But, like, being strong all the time, that is not a realistic expectation for anybody.
Yeah.
And I feel the sooner we can all realize and acknowledge that, the quicker that we can have, like, these more emotional, transparent conversations with the people that we love. Like, and I agree wholeheartedly with what this guy was saying. Like, if you can't be vulnerable to your partner, then no, that's not your partner. Like, period. Like, if I can't cry to y'all, then I wouldn't consider you my friend.
That's real.
Like, that's, it's the people you're closest to should be the people that you are comfortable with expressing all your entire range of emotions. They've seen you at your best, they've seen you at your worst, they've seen you, hell, in the middle. They know, the people closest to you should know you and feel comfortable enough with you. Like, I oftentimes say that, you know, me being a hoe, I oftentimes say that you can't have a heart with these hoes. And I do stand by that. But we're not talking about hoes. We're talking about the person you actually call your partner.
Hey, talk about it. Partners over hoes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd hopefully one day, if I were to finally trap a man and have him as my partner, then I would be vulnerable enough with him to be able to cry to him and vice versa. So, yeah.
And I think it's very important to express this, because the reason, to get back to the original point, I think that in these conversations, because I can hear and I've seen both on social media and in person, that there have been conversations, there has been perspectives like, oh, well, that's just like one person. Oh, she's not a real woman, or, oh, she doesn't, like, all that stuff. Oh, no, a real woman would be able to do that stuff. And I'm like, you don't all, like, there are women who often don't hear the conversations that men have when they're not around. Yeah, we may have our guy talk and all that stuff, and whether or not that's healthy or not, that's a whole nother conversation. But there's a reason why guys have separate conversations or separate group chats with their boys, because they know that there's a certain level of communication that they feel like, I can tell my boys anything because I feel a kinship to them, because they know what I've gone through, or at least they've done something similar. Whereas sometimes if I or someone else brings it to a woman that they care about, that's a certain level of vulnerability that we rarely get to have, and we don't want to jeopardize it, because then it becomes, well, the last time I opened myself up to a woman, I got burned. So now fuck these hoes, get money, all these things, all because they didn't feel it was healthy enough to share those things. So I think a lot of times it's very much from a guy's perspective. It's like, I trust you, but also I have to protect myself fully. I can give you 99.9%, but I can't give you the 100% unless it is a very rare case, because if I do, then you get to see all of me. And that can be a scary thing to some people. Coach Scientist, did you have something?
All I was going to say was, I remember leaving one relationship with a man that wasn't the emotional type that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too emotional.
Gotcha.
And then I said I wanted a man that was emotional. And I got that. So two things. One, be careful what you ask for. And two.
And two,
I agree with basically what everybody said. Because like you said, you need to have a conversation with your boys and stuff. You really need a space where you can be 1,000% no judgment with a person. And this applies to both men and both women. That's right. You have to, like, my best friend, Blair, she literally knows where the corpse lies.
They know where the bodies are.
I can say the worst thing.
Right.
And get it off. like get say it to her. So like I agree with everything that's been said here, and that it's not fair to men, but we have this expectation that you must be our be strong and must be our protectors and things like that. But we don't allow you to have that space. It's not fair. Does it take work? Yes. But that's any type of relationship.
Agreed.
Any relationship worth having, that's friendships or anything worth having, takes work. So I think it's very important. And I think it's the only way that we're really going to allow, we're going to keep, because there are men that have been raised great. I feel like this is going to be the way that we grow greater men.
Like to build up.
To build up and allow the space for that, for you guys to have, you know, be vulnerable.
Right. That's real. Queen C.
I 100% agree with everything that was just said. I do want to add to it just because, unfortunately, a lot of times men put these expectations and stigmas on themselves where, oh, man, you can't be emotional, dog, and you get around your friends, you know, you're trying to be vulnerable, and they're like, that's bitch shit. And it's always related to some type of femininity or emasculating. When, again, men are people, they have emotions, feelings, thoughts, like everybody else. And it's just unfortunate when it's a repeated cycle and you're hearing it from society, you're hearing it from your homeboys, you're hearing it from the people in your community. And then you get into a relationship and you feel like, you know, oh man, you know, I'm vibing real well with this person. I feel like I could almost be my authentic self, but I can't because, like you said, you know, I'm going to give you 99.99%, but I'm going to hold that 1% back. And then you end up losing out on something that could have potentially been a great thing because you refuse to be vulnerable with somebody who wouldn't have judged you, who would have listened, who would have been that shoulder to cry on if you needed it. And it's just unfortunate that it just keeps happening over and over again. And some men, like my brothers here on the podcast, have managed to escape the mindset. I've seen the growth in y'all, and it's amazing. And I wish that for every man. But unfortunately, at the same time, I've seen men where they are stuck with this almost stereotype of this is what I need to be a man. I need to fit inside this little box with these expectations and these standards. And that's how I know I'm a man. Mm. When it's not necessarily true. It's okay to be vulnerable. I wrote something in the chat and I'm gonna say it out loud because in the video, he said something about not being able to cry in front of a woman. If you can't cry with her, don't lie with her.
That's real. That is a message right there.
Amen.
Like,
because sex is emotional anyway, and then it's a mess after
it
that.
It's a lot. I'm gonna go Kelsey, and then I want to say something so we can start rounding this conversation out. Go ahead, Kelsey.
I just want to piggyback off of something that Queen C pointed out, like pointing out that men don't. How can I put this? Men view feminine traits in men as a weakness, and that is a side effect of living in a patriarchal society, and being that femininity is not viewed as strong in the same way that masculinity is. And masculinity and femininity have nothing to do with strength.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. And Mrs. Smith, you might even be able to use what I'm about to say next as like the intro to the episode, but I want to have a very honest one. This is no longer Brother X right now. This is I know we say my name sometimes, but this is talking to my men and to women as well. If we want to get to a space where we want to have healthy relationships, which is the backbone of any part of any society, your relationships, how you talk to each other, how you interact with each other, you have to create a table and a space where everybody's about able to lay out all the hors d'oeuvres, all the pieces, your shit, the dirty draws to the fine dining, all of it needs to be on this table. And you need to be able to express those things because we are already, at least in America, we are in a space where we feel like we can't do things for passion. There's so many different ideologies and interpretations and things that we put on ourselves to govern ourselves, when in all actuality, we're just doing what we think makes sense. What we think, we're just, some people are just going with what people have said for a long period of time, and now it becomes, they believe it to be fact. And honestly, I was a victim of it for a long time. I couldn't express my emotions from, if you remember my episode about my birthday and how I used to hate my birthday being born on 9/11, to the times where I would literally go through every single relationship and not be able to express who I was and how I feel because I was deemed as too emotional, or it's like, God forbid I actually let myself be genuine and actually give my heart to someone and then for it to be crushed and stepped on. Like, you just gotta be able to allow a person to feel, allow people to fail, allow them to, just like we let little children explore and figure out who they are, we have to still have that childlike curiosity when it comes to figuring out who we are and who we want to be and what our lasting impact needs to be on the world. And if we're going to continue to keep doing the same shit that we've always done, we're going to keep getting the shitty results. So if we want to grow in this space, we actually have to both allow ourselves and allow others to grow. And I tell my students all the time, making mistakes is part of the process. And if you're not willing to make mistakes, you're not going to ever go through the process. You're not ever going to grow. And you're going to be the same shitty person you were a while ago. We have to do the work. But if you are not the person doing the work, you have to be able to give the tools to the person to do the work or create the space to make the mistakes so they can grow from that, you know? So I think that is a good place to kind of settle it for right now. I know we could, honestly, we could talk about this all day because this is something I'm really passionate about. But I just need you guys to, and I'm not talking to the guests, I'm talking to my listeners who've taken time to listen all the way through this episode. Just take that time to create that space and nurturing space. I keep my circle small because I keep people in my space that I know that are going to nurture into me and that's going to help me grow as I help them grow. Iron sharpens iron. We always say that all the time. So please keep that in mind when you have these conversations, you're thinking about that. And if you're in a romantic relationship, before you go to say, oh, why are you being so emotional, both men and women, think, what is it that I'm actually trying to communicate? Because saying, oh, you're just being emotional is super dismissive and not specific to what the actual problem probably is. You know?
Message!
But what do I know? But listeners, with that being said, we're going ahead and hell, that'll be my transparent moment, man. We just having a real talk right now. But with that being said, guys, I want to thank all of our guests being on this episode, man. It has been a pleasure to have you guys back. Although we went to some places that I know we probably won't have in this episode, or you listeners won't hear. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Your check is in the mail. but I just want to thank you guys for being on the episode. And I want to thank you listeners for listening all the way through. And I won't tell you exactly what the next part of our uncomfortable truths are, but this is going to be a good one. This is one that I know myself and the culture scientists have really interesting conversations about. So with that being said, you can always check us out on our social medias at TheTNTPod123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. You can always contact us at our email at TruthandTransparencyPodcast123@gmail.com. So for all of our guests, the culture scientist, Mr. Smith, and for myself and for all of our fans and supporters, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. And I know you are forever grateful. And we'll catch you guys next time. Peace.